Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome to episode number
88.
Now I think we just do that. That's like a shtick now. It's like you guys say it so beautifully, and then I'm like Kermit.
The Cookie Monster.
Never the Cookie Monster. Very nice. That's good. All right. My name is Shama Sangeeta.
My name is Priyadarshini.
And my name is Shamali.
And we are here recording in beautiful Irvine, California today.
So random.
In the home of our social media director, Ella. Thank you so
awesome.
Much.
Thank you, Ella.
And our producer, Abhijit, is here. So thank you. This the five of us. There was just like, I don't know if you guys saw this, a casual flex, but there was an article on Iskon News. Yeah. And it was like the five of us are this team that puts together this podcast. And so we are so appreciative that so many people are falling in love with this podcast. We met so many nice devotees at the Lady Sangha. And so thank you for listening along. If you've made it to 88 episodes, we are so
grateful. That's commitment.
Yeah, that is commitment.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. All right, we are on chapter 11, text number 4. Quick recap of the last episode, ladies.
Well, basically, after chapter 10, Arjuna was like, I get it now. I see who you are. I understand you're God. You're the source of all sources. And now I want like verification because like I know this already, but like for everyone else's sake, I want you to show me your universal form.
Totally.
And basically, Prabhupada was like, that's the way to know whether someone is God because not anyone can just show you their universal form.
So
if you're curious what that looks like, it's on plate 11 in any given Bhagavad Gita.
As it is.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. In the section where there's photos, each photo has like a plate number. Mm-hmm. And so you can find it there. And now I think we're about to hear more about the universal form.
Yeah. All right. The invocation, please, ladies.
Om Agyanati Mirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. All right. Chapter 11, text number 4. Priyadarshini.
This is still Arjuna speaking. Mm-hmm. If you think that I am able to behold your cosmic form, O my Lord, O master of all mystic power, then kindly show me that unlimited universal self.
Mm. Ooh, one more time, Arjuna.
Yes. If you think that I am able to behold your cosmic form, O my Lord, O master of all mystic power, then kindly show me that unlimited universal self.
Ooh, I kind of love that Arjuna is like very self-aware and self-reflective because he's like, okay, Krishna, if you know everything, then you know me better than I know myself. Mm. So if you think that I can handle seeing your universal form, then show it. If you know me and you don't think I can handle it, please, for the love of God, for the love of you, please don't show me that form because I'm not ready. My body is not ready. My eyes are not ready. Nothing's ready.
Right.
But I love that Arjuna's like, hey, if you think I can handle it, please do it.
Especially because Prabhupada says, right? It is said that Prabhupada says, one can neither see, hear, understand, nor perceive the Supreme Lord Krishna by material senses. Mm. But if one is engaged in loving service to the Lord from the beginning, then one can see the Lord by revelation.
Ooh, that's so important. Revelation. What does that mean to you?
When I hear that word, I also hear mercy. So like when Krishna wants to be seen, he will make himself be seen. Mm. But it's not that we can just, see Krishna just
totally
out of our own whimsical decision, like, oh, I'm going to see Krishna today, because I mean, we can see Krishna in the deity, which is what, this bhakti philosophy has given us an opportunity to have like a tangible form of Krishna for us to actually see, touch, hold and everything. But to see Krishna, especially in the universal form, it would require his mercy and revelation.
I think you hit the nail on the head with the word mercy, because even Prabhupada has one line that captures what you just said, Priya, with mercy. He says, if the infinite reveals himself, then it is possible to understand the nature of the infinite by the grace of the infinite. Mm. I love that. So only through grace can Krishna reveal himself.
For sure.
Yeah. Then, okay. So you said like only can see the Lord by revelation. As I looked up the word revelation, it's like a divine or supernatural disclosure to humans of something related to human existence.
Oh my God. I never knew that it was directly so tied to that. Yeah. Most of the time we use the word like, I've had a revelation, like my own thought.
Understanding.
Yeah.
That's also another definition, a surprising or previously unknown fact. But then the second one is a divine or supernatural disclosure
to
humans of something
divine
related.
Divine or supernatural.
Can you read it? Can you read it one more time?
Yeah.
So the first one is like a surprising new fact. Oh, I had a revelation about his personal life. Okay. And then, and the second one is a divine or supernatural disclosure to humans of something related to human existence.
Something related to human existence.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I love that. That's a great definition.
Revelation.
Good job looking it up.
I wonder who writes these.
Yeah, no?
That's so cool.
Good job, whoever wrote that.
Krishna. And Webster.
Krishna worked together.
He works through revelation with Webster.
Webster's dictionary.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, us on our own selves, we don't have the capability to understand the whole creation. It says we're just only little spiritual sparks. So it's not possible for us to see or understand the Supreme Lord. We're not the whole. We're just a tiny little spark. How could we possibly understand the whole if we don't even have that macro perspective? We're in it. So Arjuna, as a devotee, he doesn't depend on his own strength, but rather Arjuna has humility, and he admits his limitations as a living entity and acknowledges Krishna's position.
Yeah. And it's also the use of the word kindly, right? Like Arjuna says, kindly show me that unlimited universal self.
They're so good at like communication and emotional intelligence.
Yes. Oh, totally. Okay.
Reflective listening, self-awareness.
Okay.
These are all like trauma-based activities. Okay. So like there's not a lot of trauma-based activities happening.
And it's interesting because they're about to go through the most traumatic thing of Arjuna having to kill his own family.
That's a trauma-based activity. Yeah.
But they're acting so from such a evolved, graceful standpoint.
Yeah. We can learn a lot about how Krishna and Arjuna talk to each other as friends, and like we can manifest that in our own friendships because it is very like reflective listening.
You are correct, doe-eyed Shama.
Oh wow. Thank you so much. If I'm hearing you properly, you just called me doe-eyed Shama.
Okay,
right?
Let's move on.
All right, petal-eyed Priya.
What did you say?
Petal-eyed Priya.
Yeah.
That was a lot of peas.
Yeah. Cool, because in the previous episode, he called Krishna lotus-eyed.
It was great. All right, anything else? Last thing,
just tagging on to the words that Arjuna calls Krishna are very specific, because Prabhupada said the word Yogeshwar, which is in the Sanskrit text, is significant here because the Lord has an inconceivable power. So thus, Arjuna is pleading for the inconceivable grace of Krishna. He's not giving him orders. So that's important, the mood.
Also, so it's good to know that here when we read the English, it said, if you think I'm able to behold your cosmic form, oh my Lord. But that's an English translation.
Right.
We're not seeing the word Yogeshwara, but that is the Sanskrit word that is being used, I'm guessing, in that moment to speak to Krishna. So that's why sometimes when we read the purport, we're not sure where did that word even come from? Like, where is it referring to? But it's like, if you look at the Sanskrit, you can always tell, where the word is being used.
Which I like. I just flipped back as you were talking, Priya, and the definition's there. Yogeshwara, O Lord of all mystic power.
Right.
Ooh.
So that's the English translation. You also have to look for that. That's where these Sanskrit words come from. So just look at the Sanskrit English translations that are right below the Sanskrit verse.
Right. And that's so cool. Master of all mystic power. Like, I think in this world, we're very wooed with mystical things. Like, whoa, that's such a fancy display of whatever, magic. But Krishna is above all of that. He's the master of all mystics. Very cool.
Very cool. All right. Chapter 11, text number 5.
Shama Sangeeta.
That's me, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now this is Krishna speaking, okay? So it says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, said, my dear Arjuna, O son of Pritha, see now my opulences, hundreds of thousands of varied, divine, and multicolor forms.
Interesting.
I like the inclusivity. Multicolored forms.
Yeah.
Nice. It's very woke.
It's very woke.
Yeah. It is very woke. Like there's blue, green. There's so many skin colors. I love it.
Yeah.
Wait, so he's like, Krishna's like, it's happening, right? right?
Yeah. It's happening. Yeah, Krishna has like, this is happening like right now. And received, I will comply.
Yeah. I love that like Krishna just went right into it. Cause Arjuna's like, if I can handle it, let me see it. And then Krishna's like, it's go time, baby. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, here's teetering around. No. Like, okay, I think you're ready, but beware, blah, blah. No, yeah.
We both know this is what you wanted. Yeah. I got you. Let's go.
Yeah. He was like right into it. And also remember, now can the soldiers that are surrounding this chariot of Arjuna and Krishna, can they also see this universal form? Or is it just for Arjuna's eyes only?
On the outside, they'll just see Arjuna like spazzing out and they'll be like, what's happening there?
Is Arjuna spazzing out?
Sorry, in all respect.
In all respect. That was really funny.
Like, yeah, I just imagine what I'd do if I see the... Yeah. I would spaz out. Okay, let's just say
that. Yeah, Arjuna just stands there like, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, no, he's really composed. But I think... So what's interesting is like none of the soldiers can see this happening.
Right.
This is like a very private moment and a beautiful moment between... these two souls.
It's because they're best friends and they see each other's hearts and they're very honest. Like, I don't think Krishna would be like that vulnerable with everyone. Like you said, everybody else might have been sort of hearing the conversation, but they're not paying the same attention that Arjuna is.
No, they're on Candy Crush on their phones.
They're like, not. Exactly.
They're like busy. They're just tapping their foot waiting for this war to start.
And how cool must that feel to be on the in group of God, you know? Like after like with a close friend, after they reveal a vulnerable side to you, it feels good. Like, wow, we're that much closer now. Imagine what that feels like with God. Yeah. Oh my God.
That is really cool. That is really cool.
Wow.
I love that.
There was one part of the purport that before we filmed, I brought it up. I read it like five times and I was like, what does that mean? And then I said it out loud and it made sense afterwards. Because Arjuna wants to see Krishna in his universal form, which although is a transcendental form, the interesting part is it's just manifested for the cosmic manifestation. And therefore, it's subject to the temporary time of this material nature. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we know that the material nature is manifested and then it's not manifested. So similarly, Prabhupada says the universal form of Krishna is manifested and non-manifested. It's not eternally situated in the spiritual sky like Krishna's other forms.
Yeah,
Priya, translate.
Well, I would say, so basically the world will end at some point.
Right.
That's what unmanifested means.
Right.
Right. And it's currently existing. So that's what manifested means. So you can picture the world just existing and not existing at some point and another. And it happens over and over again because we believe in karma and reincarnation and everything that comes with cycles. Mm-hmm. And so if we think about it that way, the form of Krishna in his universal form is not similar to others. Like we talked earlier on about Krishna as Vishnu, who sits on, like he lays on the serpent in the middle of the universe, right? That's not his universal form. That is his form of Vishnu with Ananta Shesha, which is the snake's name. And so that one lives there. That just, you know, that's his form that stays there. But the universal form just manifests when necessary and then comes back when it is. So it's kind of like a little fun superpower Krishna has. Like, let me show you now. Like, you know, like he opens his cloak. You know those cloaks that have all the clocks inside?
Right.
What?
Okay, that was a lot.
So, no, the like you're talking about like the guy with the trench coat that's selling pre-owned Rolexes.
Yes. He's like always there in all the comedies. Yeah. All the
exactly. So basically Krishna goes, let me show you what I have under my, what did you call it?
Under my cloak.
Trench coat?
Thank you, trench coat.
Yeah, but it's like a divine trench coat. Divine it's not like a creepy trench coat.
It's not creepy at all.
Wait, Vishnu, sorry, side note, I just got confused in my brain. Vishnu's not unmanifest when like the whole creation ends. Vishnu doesn't go back.
Anantashesha. He's the one that creates everything because he's not in the universe, our universe. He's kind of standing in the milk ocean.
Ah, that's beyond the universe. Right.
Yeah.
Right,
it's
right,
like
right,
not where we're at, which is materially manifested and non-manifested. Right. If Vishnu's I understand correctly.
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think you're right. I just brain fart.
Yeah. No, you're good. Thank you for that question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Prabhupada says at the end, as far as us, right? As far as a devotee is concerned, he is not eager to see the universal form because Arjuna wanted to see Krishna in this way, Krishna reveals this form. And then Prabhupada says, this universal form is not possible to be seen by any ordinary man. Mm. Krishna must give one the power to see it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that answers our question. It's like, no, the other soldiers can't see this form.
And that's so beautiful because that's the way this whole philosophy works. We can understand it to the depth that we surrender and Krishna gives us the ability to understand it.
Yes,
you know,
I love that.
How many times, I know, whatever, decades ago when I've read the Gita and I'm like, what, that that doesn't make sense. That sounds extreme. But then like the more you develop internal qualities to be qualified to receive Krishna's grace, you'll go understanding it deeper and deeper to the extent that you surrender. And I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah. I think in general, also like I say this all the time outside of the podcast. I don't know if I've said it here, but I feel like I was an idiot for most of my life.
Tell me more. I'm bought into this story.
It's not so much of a story as like, I feel like as I've gotten older, like I'm like, oh, like life makes so much more sense now. And if life, like life, material, everyday life makes so much more sense now, what to speak of our spiritual understanding, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
So just looking back, I'm like, I feel like I was like a little robot that was like on automatic, just kind of like doing life. But now I'm like, understanding a greater perspective. Most, you know, I think thank to the book we're reading, the Bhagavad Gita, and our association and everything that's going on, but also just our own actual developmental maturity that happens over time.
Well, by that standard, I think we're all idiots then.
Oh, I want to, I agree. I think Priya, you're being a little hard on yourself. We're all idiots. And I want to pull up, I took...
So she's like, you're being hard on yourself. It's not just you, it's all of us.
Well, by that standard, because really knows what's... And I want to read one thing that actually this Swami that I referenced in the previous episode, said, Bhaji Narayan Swami, he just said a very cool thing about what the Bhagavad Gita is. Because when you said through reading the Gita, it just gave you so much more understanding. It just popped into my head. He had a very simple slide that said, the Bhagavad Gita is descriptive and prescriptive, which means it's descriptive that it gives us the diagnosis for us to understand where we're at. And it's prescriptive in the sense that it also gives us the cure to understand what to do if we want to change. And I love that. Yeah. I took a picture of the slide, descriptive, prescriptive. And I love that.
Because imagine going to the doctor and he describes, like he gives you the diagnosis of what you have. But if you don't do anything about it, then nothing will change.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And he just said one simple thing, which we've talked about this before, and we've put Priya on the spot to sing the mantras. Maybe you don't want to sing.
Let's not do that again.
Okay, let's not do that again. But he said,
she like nipped it in the bud real quick.
I get the look. But he says that mantras are, because we've sung before the Hare Krishna mantra, which we've talked about. We sing in either in a kirtan or personally as our japa meditation conversation with Krishna. And he says mantras are the Vedic science to settle, expand, and deliver the mind. And it puts us in touch with our true self. So yeah, as we read the Gita, and if you've been following till episode, what are we on? 88. It's nice to then make the next step to increase 1%. And like, if you're chanting no rounds, try to chant one round of japa, of mantra meditation a day. Or if you are chanting one, chant two, but like try to up it a notch. If you're already committed, if you are already committed to listening to all these episodes, reading the Gita, then that one thing that could be a good prescriptive cure to everything you're going through is chant a little bit every day in addition to reading this, because I think chanting is going to be one of the things that we talked about unlocking Krishna's grace to understand this. Chanting the mantras is a good way to unlock his grace, right? That you'll take more juice from the Gita.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we've all been in like kirtans, right? That have literally had that transformative experience, right? Of like, okay, now I see my true self. Like I was talking to someone the other day at this place called Mantra House in Los Angeles. And like, he was telling me about his first experience with kirtan.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, I just started crying like out of nowhere. And I'm not a crier. Like I just started crying when I heard the Mahamantra. And I was like, yeah, like that's it. And then someone else beside me chimed in and was like, oh my God, that's what happened to me too. I started crying the first time I heard it. And so like, it's such a transformative experience because mantras are so powerful.
They touch your heart.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think we've all known people who like beforehand have been totally non-believing in any higher power. And then they hear a kirtan and they're like, oh my God, what is this feeling? They don't even understand what it means.
Yeah. That's the power of mantras. Yeah. It's the power of the Hare Krishna mantra.
Haribo.
Haribo. All right. Anything else before we move on to text number 6?
I think that's it.
Okay.
Text 6, Shamali.
Nice. O best of the Bharatas, see here the different manifestations of Adityas, Vasus, Rudras, Ashvini Kumaras, and all the other demigods. Behold the many wonderful things which no one has ever seen or heard of before.
No one?
What?
That's amazing. No one? So just to clarify, right? So if everyone, like everyone kind of goes crazy in our comment section on Instagram and they says, oh my God, you can't, like the demigods are different. You can't, but like Krishna is literally saying here that he is all of the demigods, right? Mm-hmm. So he is everyone. Mm-hmm. If Krishna is everything and he is the supreme lord of everything, that he is literally all of the other demigods as well.
I love that. I didn't even think about it that way when I first read it. Mm. But you're right. He's saying like, this is my universal form and it includes all these demigods that are in charge of different things because they are, I am them. They are me.
Yeah.
They are me.
Yeah. They are non-different, right?
Right.
So all of the other gods, like Goddess Lakshmi, Lord Ganesh, Lord Shiva, like, and he's talked about Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, like everything comes from him. And now he's showing this form of all of these demigods also there with him, right? Because they are within him.
And I think it's interesting, and because if Abhijit were here, he could provide more context, but many people think maybe like, in this whole debate of demigods, not demigods, they think Prabhupada threw in there, made up that word demigod when it didn't originally exist in the Vedas in that translation. Prabhupada just made it extra clear to us because even in the original Vedas, they talked about like Krishna as being the source of all sources. That was always there. Mm-hmm. So to avoid any confusion, Prabhupada made it extra clear, I think, by using the word demigod. But that concept, it wasn't made up by Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I think it's just, he's just trying to explain the source of all sources versus everybody else. And I also looked up the different, you know, just for information's sake, the Adityas, the Vasus, the Rudras. So the Adityas are 12 solar deities. There's the sons of Aditi and they represent different aspects of the sun. Mm. So it's just different entities with the powers of helping Krishna in different varieties of forms. Mm. The Vasus are associated with various elements and natural phenomena such as fire, wind, and water. Mm. And the Rudras are associated with storm and destruction, often linked to Shiva. Oh, and so just like that, these are different demigods of different aspects of the universe, aspects of the world.
Beautifully researched. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Yeah. Very nice.
My pleasure.
She's gracious enough to bring it up. I said, if you don't know it, check out the episodes we talked about it. Bye.
She's graceful.
Yeah. So basically, the purport's super short. Prabhupada says that even though Arjuna was a personal friend of Krishna and the most advanced of learned men, it was still not possible even for Arjuna to know everything about Krishna. Mm. So basically, humans have neither heard nor know all of these forms and manifestations. And now Krishna will reveal the wonderful forms that we get to have like a privy, a little bird's eye view into through Arjuna's questions.
Yeah. It's kind of special though, because like Arjuna has known Krishna for a very long time and still doesn't know anything about him.
Right.
And I think that's kind of this mysterious thing that Krishna has where it's like, yeah, you're never going to know everything about Krishna.
We're getting to eavesdrop on a private conversation. We're getting to like this. Putting our ear through the door, like hearing their whole conversation, but all transcribed into a book. Thanks, Prabhupada.
I like it.
It's super nice.
Nice.
Super cool.
All right.
Shall we do text 8?
Text 7.
Text
7.
Yeah.
Priya Darshini.
O Arjuna, whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this body of mine.
Whoa.
This universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see and whatever you may want to see in the future.
Hmm.
Everything moving and non-moving is here completely in one place.
Wow. One more time, please.
O Arjuna, whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this body of mine. This universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see and whatever you may want to see in the future. Everything, moving and non-moving, is here completely in one place.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow.
Prabhupada says in the purport, no one can see the entire universe while sitting in one place.
Mm.
Even the most advanced scientists cannot see what is going on in other parts of the universe. But a devotee like Arjuna can see everything that exists in any part of the universe. And Krishna gives him the power to see anything that he wants to see, past, present, or future.
So it's like, okay, so like if we had to be in that position and Krishna was saying that to you, it would be like, okay, you can see... you can right now from this moment see the Niagara Falls, or you can see like an remote island like the Maldives. You can just see it from the space, or you can see literally Mars. You can be in Mars and see Mars. About planets, or like the sun, planet Venus, like all this different, like you can see everything instantaneously in front of you, not just Krishna and all his forms, but also anything.
Wow. Like even the drawing of his universal form on plate 11 doesn't even capture what you can see because you'd have to be able to, what are they called? Like the things you can draw online and like then you zoom in and there's like, you can just zoom in infinitely. So you can like, they always do like an
Google
epic
maps.
Drawing. What is it? Like an artist tool to draw digitally. Like let's say they can draw a planet and then zoom into like on the planet, there's a girl holding a book and then they can zoom in infinitely to the book. It just gives them infinite space to zoom in and keep drawing. That would be kind of like Krishna's universal form. You can infinitely keep zooming in. Of course, Krishna has no limitations. I'm sure this, you can only do a certain amount.
Yeah. But that's a vector image, but it's not something in particular. It's just like the ability to like, you know,
keep zooming in. Right. Yeah.
Can you imagine being Arjuna in this moment?
That's so cool.
Isn't it kind of wild?
Wow.
Like God comes before you. He shows you these millions of forms, right?
Wow.
Different bodies, different arms, different heads, different demigods, everything that you have ever imagined. It's right in front of you.
I can't even wrap my head around that.
It's wild.
The more I think about it, the more things I think about. Like, for example, he can see himself as an old man. He can see his children. Oof, he can see his great grandfathers.
Past, present, and future.
Think about it. He's saying you can see anything you've wanted to see in the future or have. He can see anything. Like, it's like a time machine kind of situation.
So if you were Arjuna, what would you want to see?
Oh my God.
That'd be a little scary, actually.
I already have an answer. Well,
go for
it. I would want to see, because I think about this all the time, just like my past self, like my past bodies and my past lives. And I was like, what I was in past lives. Wow. Cause I speculate about that all the time.
I mean, people who do past life regressions, they describe it as like heavy business, intense stuff, is experiencing how you die, experience. And you would do that for the future also. That is scary. That is,
it's a lot of information.
So cool though.
It's a lot.
So cool.
I think there's a reason why we forget.
Yeah.
I was about to say, Priya, there's absolutely a reason why we forget, because it would just be so heavy. Like you would be carrying millions and bajillions of deaths of things you've done to other people, of not good moments.
Well, you guys really like took the fun out of that one.
Sorry.
No, like deaths and all the bad stuff you did to people.
Well,
and
I mean, you can see it from a positive perspective.
And Sean was like, walking like old McDonald's in the sunflower fields.
I mean, it could also show you all the people you've ever loved and like when they die.
That's so
heartbreaking. Intense.
I mean, I think it's true, Priya. The more you think of it, the more layers there would be to peel. Because what does everything even mean? Like, we don't understand.
I think we could stand there forever.
Literally.
Like just processing everything that we're seeing.
And we're not even talking about all his forms. We're just talking about our own lives, past, present, and future.
We're already overwhelmed.
And it's like, oh snap, I didn't even look up and see a million heads there.
Oh
like,
my God.
What?
That's
but
wild.
I also think that at the point in which you have Krishna's grace to be able to see him, you're no longer concerned about your past lives or your, you know, like all of these like material things. Like you don't care about seeing the seven wonders of the world anymore. Like you know that the most wondrous thing is Krishna. Like at the point in which Krishna gives you this grace, we're not going to be at the place where we're at right
now. So
well,
true.
I feel like a selfish idiot. I'm like, I want to know if I was a farmer.
No, that's so funny. I love that.
Do you feel like you've been a farmer?
I mean, probably, yeah.
That's not what I think of when I look at you. Oh, she was a farmer.
What did you think I was in a past life?
Do you look at her and think farmer?
I mean, how could you know, guys?
It what makes so you feel different. Like a farmer?
One time, this one friend was like, he said this to me and we were young. We were really young. And he said, I've already been a king. I've already been a pauper, like a poor person. I don't know if I said it correctly, so I had to explain.
Pauper.
And I've been a samosa.
Papadum.
And like, I've already been everything in between. I've been married. I've had children. I've done everything. So what's the point of life at this point
I'm sorry. How does this man know that he's been all these things?
Assuming or he's felt it?
No, I think the idea here is that we understand that we've lived millions of lives. And so therefore at one point or another.
No, that doesn't answer my question. How did your friend know
by reading the Bhagavad Gita.
No, he just made up all these occupations for himself?
Well, I guess, you know what?
I could make that stuff up.
I've been the queen of Egypt.
Yeah, I was the queen of England one time. And I was... Papadum.
I liked at that point.
I think he was just trying to give an idea of like, you could, he's already probably been the greatest and lowest of all the things because he's probably lived a lot of lives.
Wow.
And there's no point. I think it was a little bit of that pure devotee syndrome. I don't know if we've talked about this in recently, but it's that idea where you get so fascinated by Krishna consciousness that you go, well, if what this is saying is true, I've lived so many lifetimes, I'm wasting any minute I have now. I have to do everything regarding Krishna and just focus my life completely on Krishna, breathe Krishna, think Krishna, eat Krishna, everything Krishna. And it's amazing. It's like that wonderful like honeymoon phase of a relationship where you actually try to be only focused on Krishna at all times. And then difficulty comes into your life and you have to figure out how to balance life.
That was exactly what I was describing when I said in the beginning, you think I'm going to become a sannyasi tomorrow. And then you guys thought I'm going to become, that's what I think about myself. No, but
wait, what?
You know, in the last episode, I was joking about like how Ridhananda Maharaj says, well, this isn't the joke part, how he says at one point, spiritual life becomes difficult and you hit the part where you left off in your previous life. Because in the beginning, it's amazing. And you might think, I'm going to become a sannyasi tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah, exactly that. Because what makes it pure devotee syndrome is that maybe you're not actually at the point where, because there are sannyasis who can do that for life, but it's just not sustainable.
It is sustainable if you gradually grow to become naturally in that point, right?
Right.
And so this is somebody who was 18 years old telling me this, right? This is why I call it pure devotee syndrome, because at 18 years old, we are barely understanding ourselves. And I don't mean that in any kind of, like, it's just a reality for at least myself. Like I said, I was like a little robot just going through life, trying to figure things out. And so,
And just to clarify, your friend didn't actually see his past lives.
Okay. She's still thinking of
my, because I was like, I need to meet him so that he can tell me about my past lives.
No, I think it was very much a philosophical thing to say based on getting really caught up in wanting to be, you know, and a pure devotee.
It's a beautiful thing to strive for, not to discourage anyone from, like, if you're feeling that enthusiasm, wonderful.
Keep
run
going.
With it as long as you can. But the thing that also, whenever we say pure devotee syndrome, a lot of times we say it when someone who's very new almost like looks down on others who have been in the game for decades because they feel like, oh, you're so fallen. Look at you. I'm doing all the rules, all the stuff, but they're like a year in and it's like, okay, buddy, let's settle down,
okay, buddy.
Like, let's talk in a couple decades when you've been through the washing machine a few times and then let's see.
Settle down, Prabhu.
For some people, like if you're feeling very enthusiastic and you're feeling like, yeah, I got this, I can make everything in my life about Krishna consciousness, you might.
And that's the goal.
I think there are many people who have a great level of mercy and they can make their lives fully Krishna conscious and deal with it in a much better. There's so many different types of positions you can have as a spiritual in this material world, and you might have an advantage. So don't discourage yourself from thinking, oh, I'm just being a pure devotee syndrome right now.
No,
it's okay. Like keep going. And hopefully it lasts the rest of your life. Right. But not everyone is as fortunate to have that experience. Some people really go through difficulties and those difficulties challenge things. And it means that we just have a roller coaster a bit sometimes where it's like we grow and then we go down and then we go up again. And ideally we're just going in an upward trajectory where like mostly going towards Krishna, but sometimes we have dips. And
We're not trying to discourage. If you are feeling the enthusiasm, run with it. That's not pure devotee syndrome. It's just, we're trying to, I think, forewarn, like you will hit probably bumps, continue. Or if you're never going to hit bumps, wonderful, but don't look down on others who are struggling also then, because you feel like I'm so elevated, because ultimately then that pride will be your downfall anyway.
Ooh. Yes.
Yeah.
So
what is that Bible verse? It's like, pride cometh before the fall.
Absolutely. Ooh. Look at you. That was a good one.
Maybe I was a Christian in a past life.
Okay. Christian farmer.
I was a Christian
pigeons.
Farmer.
But the point your 18-year-old friend said, I do like it, Priya, because he's kind of saying the point is right. We've had billions of lives. We've probably lived it all, done it all. Why not then try to dedicate this one life to Krishna?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thought.
I definitely
am. Try as much as we can.
And to be fair, this person thought they were going to be like you said,
sannyasi.
Like just, you know, never find someone to marry, just going to focus on Krishna.
And then what happened?
That's not what happened.
No, what happened? What happened?
What's his address?
I need to know everything about this man.
We'll tell you later. I'll take it offline.
Let's take this offline.
But life isn't perfect, right? Yeah. So we adapt and but it's great to have that mindset if we can.
Yeah. Beautiful. And you know, like I've said before, so many times I love that my parents also have a lot of wisdom to give me because they talk time and time again, it's not about the feeling, because if you're just banking on the feeling, the second you don't feel the magic, you'll get all disheartened and feel like, what's happening? No, the feeling will come when Krishna gives you the grace, and that'll come on its own by Krishna. But it's about, what are we going to do when we're not feeling it? Are we going to continue strong and steady and just, you know what? It's my duty and I have faith and I'm committed. Mm. Or are we going to give up the second we don't feel it?
Yeah. This is a beautiful quote by Giriraj Swami, where he goes, Krishna consciousness is nothing but love masquerading as philosophy.
Mm. Right? Oh, that's so nice.
Nothing beautiful. But love masquerading as philosophy.
I love that.
Can you send that to me later?
Absolutely.
You know, that's kind of like similar to Keshav Maharaj talks about the Bhagavad Gita is a love book. It's basically a big poem of love that teaches us how to live, how to love, and then how to let go. And like you said, masquerading as philosophy, we can get so caught up in all of the philosophical aspects of it, but really it's just to reach love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then sometimes you get lucky with mercy, and that's what's happening with Arjuna. So the mercy of Krishna is what gave Arjuna the ability to see everything.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We left off on imagine everything everywhere all at once.
Great movie.
It would be like, yeah, great movie.
Great movie.
What would it be like to see? How big do you think his universal, like how tall up did Arjuna have to look up, or like how tall?
Well,
how
if
big?
You look at plate 11.
Yeah. Okay. Plate 11.
If we go back to plate 11.
I want to say a million stories tall.
But like it must be infinitely tall, but Arjuna then couldn't pop. There must be some time space warping going on.
That's why the next verse is very important, actually. Yes.
Okay.
Which I think we should get to that.
We should get to
it. I like it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So text 8.
Who is supposed to be doing this one?
I cannot remember.
I think it's you.
I think it's Shyamasundara.
It's me.
It's you.
Okay. All right. So this is Krishna speaking. Chapter 11, text 8. Krishna says, but you cannot see me with your present eyes. Therefore, I give you divine eyes.
That's so true.
I'm not finished the verse yet.
I'm so sorry. I got excited.
That's okay. I know. I was a really exciting verse. Charlie's just like, whoa!
It's as if I don't have the verse in front of me. I was just hearing it. I was like, oh, that is the answer. You were right.
Okay. Try again. Start over.
Text 8. Krishna says,
Wait.
Okay. Are you done? You want to finish your laugh?
No, I'm done.
Okay. Krishna says, but you cannot see me with your present eyes. Therefore, I give you divine eyes. Behold my mystic opulence. Now say what you're going to say.
That's so true.
That's perfect. That's so good.
Wow. Okay.
So literally,
happened. Well, he did give a little like conversation.
Oh, did it happen?
This is it.
Behold, it happened. Oh.
Behold my mystic opulence.
It's about to happen or it just happened in between?
No, he's giving it right now.
Okay.
At text 8, Krishna is giving these like really magical sunglasses. Boom, putting on Arjuna's face.
So when
face.
He says, behold my mystic opulence, and then boom, it happened.
Okay, we should.
Therefore, I give you divine eyes. Boom.
Okay.
Behold my.
Guys, we got to go to next text.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Wait, do we do any of the purport or no purport?
We come back to it, okay?
Okay, let's come back to the purport and do text 9. Okay. Yeah.
Because this is how you know that the boom happened.
Oh, okay. Shyamali, read text 9.
Oh, wait. Text, it starts with Sanjaya speaking. And before I say it, Priya, who's Sanjaya?
How did we explain him before?
Oh, yeah. So there's a blind king named King Dhritarashtra. He is the father of all of the bad guys, the Kauravas, right?
Yes.
And so he's blind. And because he's blind, he has secretary who has divine vision also, like kind of, but not in the same way as Arjuna does
He's
right
just
now.
Like a superpower
superpower to see things that are not happening in front of him. And so he is kind of narrating this whole Bhagavad Gita story to this king.
So
and
it's a conversation in a conversation.
Yeah. It's like very meta. Remember at the beginning in chapter 1, Sanjaya, like he started it off, right?
Yes,
so like the king's secretary is Sanjaya. And so now we're going back to Sanjaya.
Okay. Okay. So read one more time, text 8, then I'll do text 9.
Okay, cool. All right. I guess. Okay. Krishna says, but you cannot see me with your present eyes. Therefore, I give you divine eyes. Behold my mystic opulence.
Sanjaya said, O king, having spoken thus, the supreme lord of all mystic power, the personality of Godhead, displayed his universal form to Arjuna. Whoa. So it happened there. Behold my mystic opulence. And then he went just all... Psh.
Yeah. Wow.
Whoa. So between text, after text 8 and before text 9, that's when Krishna did it.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
And we're going to go on describing the details of it, which is going to be so exciting.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa is right. Whoa.
Okay. You guys are yelling into people's ears.
Sorry.
Okay,
okay,
this sorry. Is like that's the. Me. She's making fun of me, but I take ownership. I'm sorry.
Whoa.
Okay. Stop it.
This is the Coachella of spiritual experiences. This literally. Is crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And that totally answers I think I freaked out in the beginning because I was just imagining it totally answered the question of I was trying to imagine how with normal eyes could you see, like, it's probably infinitely tall, but I couldn't see all that. You can't see all that. So you need spiritual vision to be able to just quite physically, literally see it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah. I imagined it as like a pair of like sunglasses that were just like for divine things only. You can only like, you know,
it's next to the ones to see the eclipse, to see the universal form.
You know, you have to go to a 3D movie at a movie theater.
Yeah.
And like, you can't see anything clearly until you put those glasses on. But then these are like super powerful divine glasses.
I imagine them as those glasses that you have at your house that you can like, you put them on the virtual reality headset.
Yeah.
The virtual reality. Ones where you put them on and like it's like you're seeing a whole other world in front of you, but it doesn't really exist right there.
Yeah.
And if you look up, you can look infinitely up and you can see like the sky and everything above you.
Yeah.
But it's not there.
That's beautiful. Cool. Like Krishna like gave him a VR headset that is just made for viewing Krishna.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's wild.
That's amazing.
Wow. All right. You know, it's interesting. Yeah. The Purport Prabhupada says a pure devotee does not like to see Krishna in any form except his form with two hands. But a devotee must see his universal form only by his grace, not with the mind, but with spiritual eyes. Mm. And that's interesting, right? Krishna, basically Arjuna is told to not change his mind, but change his vision. And isn't that kind of what we do in life in order to perceive things?
Oh, yeah.
We don't change the circumstance or our mind, but we have to change how we perceive it.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Perception is everything. Yeah,
it really is. Mm. Wow. So basically Krishna's like, here, I give you the mercy. Arjuna doesn't necessarily want to see it, but he's like, if you feel like this is the thing for me and for everybody else also, I will accept.
Right.
And now he has a VR set.
Want to see it though.
But like Prabhupada was kind of like he did, but like he also
for our sake.
Like for our sake.
Like he's like already satisfied.
Got it.
And it's interesting. Prabhupada goes on to even say the universe, like for us, this feels so epic, but Prabhupada says the universal form of Krishna is not very important. And that'll become clear in the following verses. Yet, because Arjuna wanted to see it, the Lord gives him the particular vision to see it. Mm. And then it goes into all the sweet things actually that devotees want. Devotees, followers of Krishna, who are correctly situated in our relationship with Krishna, we're only attracted by the loving features, not the godly, not by a godless display of opulence? Huh, interesting use of godless. I guess, right, you don't...
Wait. The humanity in the God.
Right, because like...
Read it again.
It says, devotees who are correctly situated in their relationship with Krishna are attracted by loving features, not by a godless display of opulence. I guess because that doesn't necessarily show the personal loving godly side, I guess. Right. It says, and it's cute. It describes the different relationships. The playmates of Krishna, the friends of Krishna, and the parents of Krishna never want Krishna to show his opulences because they're so immersed in pure love that they do not even know that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Mm-hmm. And in their exchanges, they totally forget that Krishna is the supreme Lord. I love that.
Wow.
Very sweet.
Do you guys see the next part that says what it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam?
Yes.
Do you want to read that?
Sure. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that the boys who play with Krishna are all highly pious souls, and after many, many births, they are able to play with Krishna. Such boys do not know that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. They take him as a personal friend.
Mm. So after so much piety, so much seeing Krishna as God, you get to the point where you forget Krishna's God. How cool that that's the end goal.
Yeah. So this is like a cool, like a party trick, but it's Krishna's party trick, right? But I don't think that's the purpose, right? The purpose is to build that beautiful, loving relationship with Krishna. Right.
Yeah,
the party trick is pretty cool. Let's be honest.
For sure. Yeah. It's kind of like meeting a celebrity, right? Do you like, maybe you idealize like, oh, they're so cool and they have all these things and all of that. And that might be exciting, but like at the end of the day, if you really care for them, you want to know them as human beings, as a friend, as a relative, as whatever they are. Right. And that's what they want too. They don't want to be seen as this personality. They want just real friendship, real connection.
Exactly. Good point. Yeah. Like who will be closer to you? The ones like, oh my God, you're so great. Or the one that is real with you.
Yeah. So basically, I think Prabhupada's here saying Arjuna at the end of the day sees Krishna as the real friend, real cousin, real, you know, everything, best friend, guide, mentor. And he is only really using this opportunity to show all of us, but he already has that deeper connection.
Yeah.
What a beautiful episode.
Beautiful. Amazing.
All right. Join us next time. We will be on chapter 11, text number 9.
See you next time.
Bye. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.